Today's show, look, it's a doozy. We talk about all sorts of games, obvious ones, secret ones. There's a burrito involved. There's a Nissan Sentra involved. There's lawsuits involved. Just listen.
Time now for the College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel.
Auburn Stadium is now property of Antifa.
Ross Gellinger.
Are you guys on OnlyFans?
And SI's Pat Forty.
It's a good thing Bill Snyder is no longer coaching. It would be well past his bedtime.
Here's Pat, Russ, and Dan.
All right, welcome to Pod, and we got a lot to get to today. We talked a ton of football on the last show, particularly Tennessee at Oklahoma and USC at Michigan. So if you're looking for, we're going to pick those games later. If you're looking for more in-depth stuff on that and you happen to miss it, first off, why'd you miss? I want to... permission slip from your parents.
That's right. Doctor's note signed.
Please email the office, attendance office. But if you did, you go back and check that. And we're going to pick those two games, Utah at Oklahoma State, Rutgers at Virginia Tech, Illinois at Nebraska, a little juicy Friday night game that I'm very interested to see. But we wanted to start with some other games that seem to prove popular with you guys. So we do listen to feedback, not just learned how to pronounce words. That ain't happening.
Yeah, there's only so much progress we can make in that area, at least one of us.
And look, if you've got like a something like you need to learn to do this or this, you know, don't say too much or something. You can just reach out to me. You don't have to put it in like a public posting. Like my DMs are open. Like I'll be, oh, all right. I'm trying here, people. Don't have to humiliate me with a one star. Come on.
We're open to learning. We are.
I'm very sensitive. Very sensitive.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's talk about some sneaky good games. Sneaky, interesting. They may not be good, but they're interesting. We like them. You guys are a bunch of sickos that are listening to this thing. Pat, you got a sneaky good game this weekend?
I actually have a collection of them.
Okay. Let's hit it.
Some of which we will discuss later in the picks, but
we'll save those.
Dan, he's gonna steal all of them from us.
Maybe.
Well, first off, I just said don't talk about the later games. We're gonna talk about those. You'll go, Utah, Oklahoma State's for the Big 12.
One game, Pat. One
just
game.
Work with me for a minute.
All right, one game at a time, please.
One game at a time.
Here's what we got.
God, we're like 2 minutes in, and it's a mess.
Oh, my God.
Go ahead.
The state of California is commuting. Horace Greeley said, go west, young man. The state of California is going east, in some cases way east. Stanford is at Syracuse for its first ACC game Friday night. Cal is at Florida State for its first ACC game. UCLA is going to LSU. USC is going to Michigan. Sorry, I had to mention that. But we're going to see how they handle the cross-country commutes. I wrote last week about some of the challenges that they're going to undertake here because they're going to be doing this all season. And they've prepared for it. They're trying to be ready for it. We'll see how ready they actually are for it. It's probably going to be harder for them in other sports than in football, but it doesn't mean it's going to be easy in football either. Little stat nugget for you guys so far. Teams traveling two or more time zones to play this year are 13-15 so far. Not that bad. I thought it might be worse. But they're 13-15. We will see now when we get into more conference games and more comparable competition if that stat gets worse or if it stays the same or it improves. So that's my first thing of intrigue. I want to see.
I would just like to say, Pat, that was excellent work. That was succinct, yeah, informative, entertaining. That was one good job. Gold star.
How about that? Wow.
I was
look at that. After being assaulted to begin with.
Don't expect that from me. Yeah.
Well, first off, can we talk about the joyous, unexpected rise this season? I thought Cal joining the ACC was one of the dumbest things I'd ever heard of. Obviously, they had no choice.
Mm-hmm.
But the rise of Cal Twitter.
Yeah, pretty solid.
Yeah.
Who knew these people were so funny? No one was paying attention. Now they're playing.
Yeah. I know.
Who knew?
Yeah. It's incredible.
The woke agenda.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're playing up the progressive nature. Like no school, I don't know a school in the country that embraces progressiveness, right? Like as a football fans. Because even if your school is like pretty at a very progressive thing, the football fans, they kind of rather it's a little more conservative or what, like they don't brag about it. They don't put a meme out there when they defeat Auburn that says Auburn Stadium is now property of Antifa.
it's brilliant. Woke Campbell Stadium. I'm ready.
Woke Campbell. They said they're mocking the book burning is the rule books down in there. War Eagle. Sorry, it's now Peace, Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Eagle.
Oh my God!
Yeah, how about the one of them was at halftime of the Florida State Cal game. We're going to be doing a prayer circle at center at midfield on the race theory, critical race theory,
critical race theory. Yeah. They're all about that.
Yeah.
Woke back mountain. They're calling this game Saturday.
Very good.
Oski the Bear, a straight Seminole, Cal Twitter, and Governor Ron DeSantis starring in Woke Back Mountain.
Oh my God.
Saying gay at a school close to you, 921. I mean, I guess there's going to be a stripe out at Doak Campbell this weekend. How many people are showing up.
Yeah.
Might be some empty seat stripe out. Cal says the stripe out is this. Check your row number. If you're in the 60s, it's Marxist red. 50s is orange. 40s is they, them, yellow. They also say their pronouns are win and er. If you're in the 30s, capitalism is a crime green. 20s is Atlantic Coast blue, and the 0 and the 9s is open border purple. And if you line that up, it is a giant rainbow flag.
Oh my Lord.
It's tremendous. Just fantastic. Yeah. Just embrace it. Yeah. Like, yeah.
I actually beyond the political slapstick, I think it's a very interesting game because if Cal wins and Florida State loses, oh my God. I mean, the earth is going to just split open.
If
Cal is 4-0 and Florida State is 0-4, good Lord, help us.
Imagine the Cal Twitter then. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and who's their next victim?
I don't know.
Cal has an open week and then. So they can get out of September undefeated if they win in Woke Campbell.
Oh, everyone's stoned. Everyone gets stoned.
Yeah, everyone just gets really high.
Absolutely. I never saw this coming. Could not imagine that I would be saying the words Antifa on here. Hey, go. That's your thing, man. You got to separate stuff. All right, Ross, do you have a sneaky, exciting game here?
No. I got one. This is an in-state, not so big rivalry, but is intriguing and is certainly for one team a trap game. Miami at South Florida in Tampa is really interesting to me. Obviously, Miami's played really, really well. It seems like a loaded team. Mario Cristobal's third year. This is supposed to be the year Cam Ward and them, the quarterback, played really well. But Alex Golas, former Tennessee offensive coordinator, now South Florida head coach. He's in his second year. And his first year, they went to a bowl. And everybody was kind of shocked that he had him in a bowl game. And this year, they were hung right there with Alabama in the fourth quarter, again, for a second straight year. This feels like one of those trap games for Miami. And I am interested to see what happens with this one and if South Florida can keep it a little tight in the second half, maybe even in the fourth quarter.
I'm going to give you Michigan State at Boston College. And again, much like Antifa getting a mention on this podcast, did not see this one coming. But Spartans, Jonathan Smith, 3-0. They won at Maryland. They look good and improving. BC obviously won at Florida State, which maybe isn't what it once was. But they played a really nice game at Missouri. Had the lead. Couldn't hold on. But that's swimming in some deep waters for Bill O'Brien's program. Feel like this is a big game for both programs. Like, where are we headed here? I think both programs are on the way up, by the way. But how kind of special could this season get? I would expect a nice crowd at Boston College, which they don't always get. It's a nighttime game. And just a really intriguing game. Michigan State could certainly make a statement. And then they would go into Ohio State 4-0. I don't think they'll beat Ohio State, but that would be pretty exciting for the Spartan program that has endured a nightmare year last year with Zoom scandals and scoreboard scandals, and not even getting to full, so that were so embarrassing they couldn't fully enjoy Michigan scandals. So I'm really intrigued at the MSU BC game.
Mm-hmm. Good one.
All right, Pat, back to you.
Back to me. Great. After dark, Big 12 after dark, Saturday night late, Kansas State at BYU, 10:30 p.m. kickoff. It's a good thing Bill Snyder is no longer coaching. It would be well past his bedtime.
It's going to end at 2 o'clock.
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to be a hard one for the K-State fans. But this is the world they now live in. Mountain Time is considered late night time. Both teams are undefeated. Kansas State, not that surprisingly, because they're such a solid program, but they were really impressive in thumping Arizona. But BYU 3-0, I'm not sure that was fully anticipated. Playing very good defense so far. Jay Retzlaff is a quarterback. They thought it might be Jerry Bohannon who was transferred in, but Retzlaff beat him out, and he's been kind of a wild ride so far. Plenty of mistakes, plenty of good plays. You make too many mistakes against K-State, you're going to lose. But the winner of that will be 4-0 and feeling very good about themselves.
I once covered a K-State game with Bill Snyder. It was a night game at West Virginia, and it went pretty late. I think we were at West Virginia. And he was drinking. He had a cup that he after the game that he was – this is like whatever, like 1 in the morning, at midnight at least. I don't know. And I asked him what was in the cup, and he said coffee. He was still drinking coffee. Then I asked him how he took his coffee. He got perplexed, but I like details. Can you imagine how Bill Snyder took his coffee?
As black, plain as humanly black. Possible.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Black. Yeah. Yes. Double brew it. Yeah, absolutely.
Double. Yeah. Double. Yeah. The strongest possible. Could have
killed. It's a half skinny latte. Yeah. No, I mean, I would have been like, what?
Yeah. No.
Yeah. Got it at the Sunoco over here. All right, Ross, second pick.
So in 2004, I was in my sophomore year, I think, Mississippi State in college. And the Florida Gators came to town with, I believe, Coach Ron Zook.
Do we have some like piano key music, like story time with young Ross?
And I was a little student, you know, student reporter. And, you know, Florida was like a 2-touchdown favorite. And I think ranked at the time, maybe. I don't know. But it was State and Sylvester Croom won the game. People rushed the field like crazy, including maybe a student reporter who probably shouldn't have. And then I think the next day, you know, Runzuk got croomed, as we all recall. So here we go. The fast forward, and Florida's back at Mississippi State with a third-year coach who's on the hot seat. And State's not very good, and Florida's Florida's got to be favored, right?
Florida's favored by like
4.5 or something.
Yeah, five okay. Not a big favorite, but a favorite. So here we go. Sets up. So is Billy Napier going to get croomed? I don't know. Mm-hmm. But that matchup to me is certainly very, very intriguing. It is not. It kicks off almost 12 hours after the game that Pat picked. Kicks off at noon Eastern. So we'll be able to see that one. Florida and Mississippi State. State is reeling, to say the least. Got blown out against Toledo at home. So you have to think that if Billy Napier and the Gators lose this one, there's probably not a whole lot of games left for Coach Napier.
I would not be shocked if he's levied win or lose. They got an open date the next week. And if you're going to make a change, if you've already decided he technically really would have been Elko'd because of what happened last week, I think would have been the deciding factor. But yeah, this could be our last chance to see Billy Napier in blue and orange.
I watched some of that Toledo game as a fan of Maction, and that was not like an upset.
No.
Like the way a MAC team would normally upset. Like they blew him off the ball for 60 minutes. They just dominated Mississippi State. If Florida loses that game, they're going to leave Billy Napier at the Cam Newton Memorial Hilton Garden Inn in Starkville.
Leave him at the tarmac of the airport there, which is called the Golden Triangle.
The Golden Triangle. Yes.
GTA, maybe.
Golden Triangle Airport. He's going to get kiffened right there. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's not good. All right, I'm going to take Arizona State at Texas Tech. Arizona State 3-0, had the big victory against, they beat Mississippi State, but only by 7. That looked pretty darn good. There was a comeback, though, but they dominated Mississippi State. It turned some, raised some eyebrows, but then Toledo did it better. Who wore it better? Toledo. But then they win at Texas State. Now they've got this at Texas Tech game. They're really working Texas in recruiting. I don't know how good Texas Tech is. They lost at Washington State. They barely beat Abilene Christian. But then they look pretty good against North Texas. So, but look, if Arizona State, which a lot of people picked to finish however many teams are in the Big 12 last, if they get to 4-0 with a non-conference schedule of Wyoming, Mississippi State, at Texas State, and at Texas Tech, that's really, really nice for Sun Devils and Kenny Dillingham. We've been talking all year about the momentum of that program. So I think this is a really big game for both teams, and I'm sneaky interested. All right, any more, or should we move on?
I could do a quick one.
I got another one.
Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. Saturday night, Floyd of Rosedale game, Iowa at Minnesota. They play for the Big Pig. Both teams have had a disappointing home loss, close game. They probably felt like they should have won. Iowa against Iowa State, Minnesota against North Carolina. Minnesota has been better since Darius Taylor, their running back, got back into the lineup. I think the winner comes out of there feeling pretty good. The loser's a little more disappointed, probably thinking that the season should have started better. Spoiler alert, it'll be low scoring. I think the over-under is 35.5. That might be too high. This is, two guys that love their ball control, P.J. Fleck and Kirk Ferentz. But they've crossed swords a little bit in years past. I think they've kind of buried the hatchet, but they've had a little competitive feuding going on during games about, who was running it up or not running it up or whatever.
Midwestern nice feud.
Yeah. running it up to 24 points.
24-12.
Yeah. Passive aggressiveness. They called a timeout with 30 seconds.
They tried for a safety.
Yeah, right. Anyway, so I'm looking forward to seeing that and seeing where the Pig ends up this year.
Baylor travels to Boulder, Colorado. This game, two and one teams, both have a loss on the road at a ranked team. Nebraska for Colorado and Baylor lost at Utah. This one feels this one, it's always of interest when Dion takes the field, obviously, and Travis Hunter, a potential Heisman. Obviously, we talked about it earlier this week on Sunday, I think. So any game with Travis Hunter is an interesting one. It kicks off at 8 p.m. On Fox. But this game feels like the team that loses is in for a fairly crappy season. You know, no bowl, like four wins, you know, maybe coach fired, especially down in Waco. And the team that wins maybe has a, you know, has a chance. It feels like that. That's just kind of the feel of this game. Baylor might have a new quarterback. Daquan Finn, you know, the transfer that started from Toledo, I believe. He's not probably been as strong of performances as they'd like. And Sawyer Robertson played last week and played really well. So it'd be interesting to watch that quarterback battle. And then, of course, on the other sideline, there's Travis Hunter.
Always fun to watch. Is Daquan Finn healthy? I think he was hurt.
Yeah, I think he was hurt. Yeah. Okay. And it should be I don't think it's anything that serious.
No, I think he may or may not be back. Detroit King High School. They got a big game against Cass Tech this weekend. So Daquan, don't get distracted if you do play. I am going to give you one. Indiana. They're hosting Charlotte. Nothing special there, except Indiana could go 4-0. And Kirk Cignetti came in and said, he called out Ohio State, Michigan, and his remarks at Assembly Hall. He told the players, I don't do zero. I've come into other teams that were supposed to be terrible and we win right away. Schedule hasn't been daunting, but this is Indiana. We've talked about this. Curtis Rourke, the transfer from Ohio, has been great at quarterback. This team is exciting. They are physical. And there's got to be a lot of excitement amongst the Hoosiers, who normally by now are thinking Midnight Madness, and they aren't thinking very well about that lately. But can they get to 4-0? I assume they will. But how impressive do they look and all of that? I'm just anything Indiana's doing right now, I'm intrigued.
Definitely. I mean, I think UCLA probably sucks. But to go into the Rose Bowl and dominate them, was a nice look to start your Big Ten season. They get the 4-0 and you're hosting Maryland. Hey, I mean, who knows how far this little run could go?
Yeah. I mean, like I said, all right. Any more? Or we move on here. Let's move on.
Yeah, we'll move on.
All right, Ross. ACC might be making up as plaintiff number one and plaintiff number two.
Yeah,
willing to make a deal? That. Was this all just leverage? I was told by Florida State fans they had a secret pact to join the Big Ten. I said that wasn't true. I was told I was an idiot. I hated them, sorts of stuff. What happened? I guess they want to stay in the ACC.
Well, what happened was something we've discussed for months and months on the show, is that there doesn't appear to be a lot of interest in the Big Ten and SEC into adding any members, specifically maybe members who are caught in a legal contract with their conference. So I think that's been evident for months now. And so I think it's gotten maybe to the point where there was court ordered mediation that started about, I don't know, a month ago or so. And I think it's led us to here. It's led the ACC's lawyers and Florida State and Clemson's lawyers to come to a proposal that is not approved and not passed yet, just to be clear, but that has made its way to the president's ACC president's meeting last week in their in-person meeting. They talked about it for a couple hours, I think. And then this week, it was discussed again with ACC presidents. And basically, the proposal is a similar proposal that Florida State made about a year and a half ago, Dan. So it's an extra pot of money that would presumably come from each of the members. You'd throw in, you know, imagine if Dan were at the poker table here and everybody annies up five, and that pot gets distributed to members who have at the end of a year, academic year, have the highest TV viewership in football and basketball. That's kind of, without getting into too many details, because the details haven't been worked out, that's kind of the gist. So it's a similar idea to what they already have approved, which is a performance initiative, the success initiative based on football performance. You get a certain unit of a pot of money that's coming from the CFP. And you get a certain unit for going to a bowl game, finishing the top 25. So it's a similar thing like that, except it's just on media value on TV viewership, which, you know, there's a football component and there's a basketball component. So for football, usually Florida State, Clemson, Miami, and maybe another ACC team like Virginia Tech or something that's doing well that year, probably going to get that money, right? Those schools just probably get that money. In basketball, Duke, North Carolina, you know, maybe Syracuse or something, you know, is going to get it. Miami is going to get that money probably, if two out of every 3 years. So it's a way to, honestly, put it flatly, right? It's a way to get more money to the top half of the league.
Yeah, it's interesting. Ratings are obviously very instructive, but they also need to be viewed with a little bit of context and nuance, right? And I'm sure that the ACC is well aware of that and will figure out a way to do that smartly, because like Florida State, Georgia Tech, according to what I figured out, is the 10th most watched game of the year so far. It was also the only game, you know, that just stood alone. That was going to get a big number, I think, no matter what. And yes, it had done better than I think the previous games in Ireland had done, but it's the first game of the season. People were going to tune in. So you have to, I think, view this a little bit through the prism of when games are played and what the TV competition is. Florida State BC was on Labor Day night, the only game on. So there again, you're gonna get a better number for that than otherwise maybe would be merited. Dan, like you, I had it on good authority from like Big Noel 55 on the message boards that there was a handshake deal with the Big Ten. It was done, and anybody that couldn't see that just doesn't know what they're talking about. So I'm surprised that maybe that wasn't the case, because who thought Big Noel 55 might not have had the best information?
I mean, sometimes they do, you know, but not on this one.
Sometimes.
I question Big Noel 55's Big Ten sourcing.
Yeah. So perhaps. Anyway, look, the squeaky wheel generally tends to get greased, especially when the squeaky wheel is a pretty important wheel, like Florida State is. And I think Florida State has earned a lot of criticism and disrespect from other schools in the league and nationwide. I think they've expended a lot of capital puffing up their chest and going after the ACC like this. If they get something out of it, okay. I don't know whether the juice they're going to get was worth the squeeze in terms of the blowback, but we'll see.
In fairness, the reason those two games are standalone games were not because of Georgia Tech and Boston College. So they do bring exposure opportunities. Yeah. But yeah, I agree. Look, I want the ACC to stick together. So I'm less concerned about how they clip coupons at Pitt or Syracuse or BC or something like that. So let me tell you what, you better to take sometimes a bad deal or a little less good deal is better than where you're going to be if they actually do leave. And the Big 12 will certainly take them. So
The basketball element of this is interesting because, right, Ross, one of the schools that's a little bit like, we're not sure how much we like this situation is North Carolina, which is the most important school in the league. And this would be something that would seemingly be an advantage to North Carolina.
Well, this is want to talk about a few other things as part of this. One of them is, you know, obviously this hasn't passed and they have to get the votes, and there's a thought that they have to get 12 of the 18, I believe, which is 2/3, I think, if I'm doing math correctly. And to do it, you know, you got to have some basketball schools. So this proposal is pretty smart in that it includes this basketball concept that could get basketball schools more money. There's that. And you know, I don't know, there's no vote scheduled yet. I think this is still a few, not days, but maybe even weeks away. The big question here, well, first of all, there's another part of this, right? Grant of rights, but we haven't discussed, which is part of this is shortening the grant of rights. To me, the way I have been told is it's like three steps here. Right, step one is changing the revenue distribution model, like we're talking about, and creating this other pot. Step two is shortening the grant of rights. I haven't reported any year. Others kind of have mentioned a year that it could be shortened to. Right now, it expires in 2036. Big Ten TV deal and a couple other TV deals. Big 12, you know, pops open between 2030 and 2031. So there's a good chance that those are the dates that are being discussed. And the third step in this is then if the first two steps get done, third step is just agreeing to settle, you know, the lawsuits and settle all the litigation. So we'll see if that happens. But the big question for me is, does the additional money in this bucket, does it close the gap enough between the SEC and Big Ten? When you take the success initiative plus this new TV viewership money, if you combine the two, I've been led to believe that it gets pretty close to closing the gap. And the gap within, by 2027, I think the gap between the ACC and the Big Ten SEC will be around 30 to 35 million, I believe. And if you advance in the success initiative, if you advance to the college football playoff, you're going to reach the benchmarks of top 25, bowl game, CFP. And then if you maybe advance through, let's just say one round in the CFP, you're probably going to get around $15 million, you know, 12 to 15 million. And if you get the viewership number, you might get a number, another 5, 10, who knows, 15 million. They have not decided on how much really is in that pot. And that's 30 million right there. The problem is only one or two teams can get that every year.
But you also get additional, if you're winning like that, you're going to get additional money of donations like we talked about, yeah, and tickets and t-shirts, yeah, and all that. So
the point is win. Yeah.
You better win.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny how that works. Yeah. All right.
Don't start 0-3.
We're going to be back after this message. This show's going to get off the rails really quickly, too.
Oh, no.
College sports news that, again, another one we didn't see coming. St. Bonaventure basketball has a new general manager. It's Adrian Wojnarowski, ESPN insider, former Yahoo Sports employee. Yeah. Woj, legendary sports writing career. Pat and I have known him a long time. I've known him since I started in this. We were covering the University of Connecticut together at the time. Basketball team. Jim Calhoun just loved Woj. He was just, yeah, absolutely. Just what he needed was Woj poking at him every game.
Oh, God.
Great back and forths. Anyway, Woj obviously became very famous at Yahoo and ESPN for, he's a great author, writer, columnist. He's as good as anyone's ever done this, but became a newsbreaker because that's really what became valued in sports media, which is, it's interesting. Would reveal the NBA draft picks before ESPN was able to show him. So then ESPN hired him. Anyway, he's 55. He's retiring from sports media, and he is going to go and be the general manager and like the NIL guy for St. Bonaventure basketball, his alma mater, this mid-major in the Atlantic 10. And this is... the interesting part is not Adrian leaving ESPN. It's where he's going. He could have gone to an NBA front office. He could have gone to work for CAA or something like that. He's got all these contacts. At least one major college program heard about this and tried to get him to switch to them. Come help us win a national title. He said, no, I'm going to help the Bonnies. Pat, your thoughts on this? The GM role, bringing in sports writers.
Yeah. Hacks win, one of the greatest wins in sports writing history. People actually want us now. I can't believe it. Want us to do something athletically related other than criticize their teams. No, all hail to Woj. As you said, awesome career. Known him for a long, long time. Early 90s, perhaps. And he's is incredibly talented and would just absolutely go after people in his columnist days, which I appreciated. And Dan, you wrote a great story, great column about him. The thing you said there that resonated and I think will continue to resonate at St. Bonaventure is for Woj, it wasn't about getting rich, although he got rich. It was about beating everyone else for the story and competing for the information. And that was always what drove him. I will never forget being in London in 2012 when Yahoo were all in the same hotel, right? And coming back from covering the swimming at 2 a.m., getting off the metro and coming in, and Woj is sitting in the lobby with his laptop I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm monitoring Dwight Howard free agency.
I'm like,
dude,
what a liar.
Dude, stop. But he would never stop. Is no stopping. No. And so that's why, like, part of me is like, oh, man, you know, you can downshift a little and kind of go into this maybe a little less hectic. But you know what? He's going to get in, and he's going to compete in that, too. He's going to be like, oh, Dayton's trying to get that guy? Guess what? We're going to go get that guy. And it's going to be, I think, you know, you're going to see the same things that made Woj great as a reporter also make him probably very good as a general manager. I just can't wait to see it. It's going to be really a fascinating turn. And the general manager role, we've talked about it in football. It's now a thing. It's absolutely going to be a thing in basketball. You're going to need one because player procurement and player retainment is all what it's about as long as the transfer rules are what they are.
To Pat's point about the Olympics, seeing Woj at the Olympics working real late, I was listening to the Levitard show recently, and I guess at some point him and Levitard worked together. Did he work in Miami?
No,
at some point
he worked at ESPN. Together, I guess.
Okay, I guess that was it. And they were in Levitard said he was walking through the press tent or whatever after a night, and he. He was walking through with a bottle of tequila as he was drinking at like 2 a.m. over at the Olympics. And there was Woj hacking away on like his fifth story of the day on some skier or something. Yeah. And there you go.
He was a tortured writer now. He blew a few deadlines now. I'm not, Woj will probably hear this, and I'm just letting him get off with that. He took a long time to write. He actually became a newsbreaker because it's easier to write. He's the most maniacally competitive person. We worked on a lot of stories together, as I've known him for years. It was never about the story. It was, I want my competition to get up and read my column and go, damn it, I got killed by him. Mm-hmm. I want my competition to be like, why didn't I get that story? It was all about winning. Yeah. That was it, winning. Yeah. And so this is his competitive instinct. I just think it's awesome. Look at everybody's dream. Is you make enough money that you can just send out a tweet going, I'm out. Peace out. I'm doing what I want to do. I'm going to become the general manager of my favorite team. Cough, cough, Boston Bruins. You need Jeremy Swayman signed. Maybe I can help. I'm right here. Like, what is better than that? I'm going to go run my favorite team. Like, everyone takes that job. You're a big Seinfeld fan. Ross, remember when Costanza was unemployed? He's like, maybe I could run the Yankees. Like, they're like, they usually give that people.
Usually they give those jobs to people in baseball.
So good for Woj. When we start breaking St. Bonaventure scoops on this site, probably the source will be obvious.
Yeah.
Sources. St. Bonaventure is beating out Duquesne for us. Shooting guard.
I just can't imagine. Wait, Dan, I wanted one more thing. I just cannot imagine either caring so little about money or caring so much about maybe your life quality that you would literally take, I think, an $8 million pay cut.
Yeah, I mean,
you got to know this guy. He lives in the same house that he did when he was.
I know. I saw that in your column and was struck by that.
He likes TGI Fridays. Is his thing. He's probably got some T-shirts he had. He used to work out in Fresno. Like,
nice
money. Yeah. He's got a lot of money, but it's still a big gulp. It's like, wait a minute, what?
I'm sure I was like all of us. Well, not you, Dan. Obviously, maybe knew it was coming, but like all of us when you saw the tweet, you have to click on the profile to make sure you're not getting bamboozled.
Final Woj bomb was about himself. Yeah. I mean, it was just fantastic. Yeah, epic walk-off.
I will say, just to your point of him being a tortured writer, that did remind me of the Nagano Olympics, I think, in 98. And like 5 a.m., he's the last one in there. And he would be sitting in the very back of the room. And anytime somebody walked by, he'd pop up with his head and look and maybe go talk to him because it would take him away from writing because he didn't want to finish the column because it was hard, you know?
Columns were excellent, though. Yeah, but yes, he was a tortured writer.
Always
sometimes
good.
It looked like he was working on his fifth. Not
still
taking
the
that.
First one.
All right. Speaking of the transfer portal, Marshall, Coach Charles Huff. We love Charles Huff. Great coach. They're playing Ohio State this weekend. Joe, cue his comments on he using the big platform of the big game to let players know, particularly Buckeyes, he's got something to offer down in Huntington.
Love to have some of those guys from Ohio State too. So if they want to transfer on down, we've got a Tutor's Biscuit NIL all you can eat. So if any of those guys that run really, really fast at Ohio State like Tutor's Biscuits, I promise you, all you can eat all day if you transfer here. So, but yeah.
I just reminded of like Pulp Fiction when it's like, that's it, I'm going, right? Samuel Jackson's. And credit to Ryan Day for laughing and being part of the joke, not getting upset that he's tampering. Like, thank you.
Yeah, right.
I was like, oh boy, it's kind of against the rules.
Ryan handled it perfectly. You know, we as coaches take things often too seriously.
Yes.
Like, yeah, no.
Yeah. So, FYI, hey, if you're looking for Tudor's biscuits, and I'm guessing they're pretty good, Marshall, go Herd. Go Herd.
Huntington, West Virginia, you sell what you got. That's what they got. I love Huff. He's a good guy. And that's what they got to sell in Huntington right now. Tudor's biscuits. Maybe a little bit of other NIL grease, but probably not what Ohio State's.
I've never heard of Tudor's biscuits.
Probably
good.
A local spot, yeah. Right?
No, they're a chain.
Oh.
Right? The Tudor's Biscuit World or something.
Tudor's biscuit world. I love the ambition.
Yeah. They got their own world. Locations here. I'm looking at the locations. They're heavy in. So you know what? They're heavy in Ohio, but also into West Virginia, some Virginia, a little bit of Kentucky. We got them.
Well, they should pay more to this NIL deal because he got them a lot of publicity.
Yeah,
I want absolutely. A Tudor's biscuit. Yeah. All right. Dumb fans making outrageous guarantees on Twitter is just taking off. This is at Saint Bill Snyder.
Oh, no.
Obviously, maybe Bill Snyder's. I don't know. Anyway, I don't think
he's been sainted yet.
I don't think he's. Maybe. Maybe. Say at St. Bill Snyder. I don't know how would we find this person. If K-State loses to BYU, I mean, this is not a guarantee. So this suggests maybe this guy, maybe he wouldn't mind. If K-State loses to BYU, I'll shove a beefy five-layer burrito up my...
Come on now. Come on now. What?
Kazoo.
That's what he said.
What?
That would be a bit messy.
Oh, my God.
That would be messy. I mean,
five layer.
What are we even talking about? Really
I don't think that's possible. Let's not get into it.
I would think you'd want to go chicken or something a little less.
Oh.
I mean.
Okay. Well, that's what it said. It gets worse.
No.
At Cyclone Larry 69. Oh, nice.
Oh boy. Yeah.
Cyclone Larry. If Iowa State loses to Arkansas State, I will eat the beefy five-layer burrito this guy shoves up his.
Come on.
If K-State loses. Yeah.
Oh, all right. God, what is wrong with these Midwestern people? See, leave the burritos out of your backsides.
Play that song, Joe. This is the thing about Iowa. Yeah, here it is. Here it is.
Hooray! We love it in the city of A.
Hooray!
We love it in A.
It's beautiful in autumn, late December brings snow. Ames is a safe place, the crime rate is low. We've got great schools, the students score high. We go for number one.
And not just to get by.
Ames High to the Bronx.
We think that's great.
Over 357 schools in the state.
Visit here, you won't want to go home.
Join us with a hooray for the awesome Cyclones. It's ISU, the home of Hilton Magic.
All right, you can shut it down there. So you hear songs like this, right? The happy people of Ames bragging about their water, bragging about their school system, bragging about there's no race wars. That's later. That takes a dark turn in that song. And you think of all the people of Iowa. You think about sweet corn, right? Caitlin Clark, butter cows, like caucusing. They're always caucusing. Let's have a caucus.
Loose meat sandwich.
They seem like the nicest, most reasonable people. And then there's this other angle that Psycho and Larry's letting us a little picture in. Don't be fooled by the people in Iowa. This guy is, I don't even know how this would work or why.
All visual scenarios of this are very bad. Very, very bad.
Psycho Larry just throwing a little window out there. You think they're all happy people in Ames and around the state, but there's a side there. There's a side. Keep an eye on them.
Oh, Lord.
What are you guys doing with these bets? Did the TCU guy ever get tasered in the nuts? I can't keep up with them.
I hope not. Oh my gosh. But yeah, yes, let's just leave everything, you know, that's down there in that area. Leave it out of your football, right? Let's not, you know, be betting on things you can do to torture yourself based on whether or not your team wins. Please.
All right. Normally don't do a people's court on the race for the case day. I know the show's going to go a little long, but there are emergencies that have to happen. There are justices. There are wrongs that need to be righted. And this one comes out of the Oklahoma State Fair, which is going on right now. And it leads to a little bit what we dealt with our guy Zach Spangler up at Purdue. Like, could there be a contest that needs a real judging? So think big on this. First off, the Oklahoma State Fair has something called the Stinkin' Centra Contest. And I wasn't aware of this. See, try to make a show that's informative and entertaining. Some people talk about the linebacker rotation for the Sooners. We talk about the Stinkin' Centra. So,
I prefer that.
Four strangers get in a Nissan Sentra. You don't know the other three guys. Could be woman. I don't. God, no woman would be dumb enough to enter this contest. And you sit there until you're the last one sitting. The other three quit.
Oh my God!
And then you win the Nissan Sentra. Probably what? A lease. I don't know. You're allowed to eat inside the Sentra, drink inside the Sentra, do whatever the hell you want, except go to the bathroom inside the Sentra.
Yeah, that's the problem. Yeah.
I would hope they draw a line there.
They have scheduled bathroom breaks. You're allowed to get out, go to the bathroom.
Oh.
Other than that, though, you want to bring in like the stinkiest food you can, right? And whatever it's going to take to drive out your competition from the stinking Sentra. I mean, it's tough out there in Oklahoma if this is how you got to get a car.
This sounds absolutely miserable.
Plus, your car is always going to stink of the other three dudes. You're probably going to hate them.
Yeah.
This goes for days. It could go the entire Oklahoma State Fair, at which time they do something where maybe they had to stand outside and like hold the car until you basically collapse because you're exhausted.
So
I tell this story
end?
About Iowa. And Oklahoma's like, hold my beer. Hold my
How does this end up ending? Like,
a treat for you.
This has to be,
So we get down the final two. Okay. We get down the final two. And they go for a break at the 5 o'clock scheduled bathroom break. And
how long have they been in the car, Nick?
Like 4.5 days at this point.
Oh my God. Can they have their phone?
They can have their phone. There's a webcam keeping an eye on the whole thing. So one guy, they both get out, and one guy, the eventual loser, alleges that his competition somehow acquired a solo cup And he went into the porta potty. And, well, let's just, you have the, do we have the interview?
No, play the interview, Joe.
I think you got to hear this guy. Okay. And this looks like a man that just spent 4.5 days
in a cell.
Here we go.
I don't know what happened. So yesterday during our break, I think it was at the 5 o'clock break, my literal piece of competitor went out to the porta potty, scooped a cup of shit out of the porta potty, and then brought it back into the car. I got in the car. I could barely smell it. I knew exactly what it was. My wife was watching on the live stream.
This guy has a wife?
I told her, hey, it smells like porta potty in here. She said, yeah.
She said, yeah.
So I text the dent source people that are in charge of this competition. Competition, mind you. Told them what was going on. They asked the dude if he brought it in. He tried to deny it. Eventually, they made us get out of the car. They found it. They made some calls. I don't know who they were calling. You know, McDonald's? Obviously, nobody with any
McDonald's catching strays.
They decided that, yes, that was against the rules, but it's not a disqualifier. They're just going to remove the human feces that he scooped out, and the competition will continue. I said I had more self-respect for myself. And no, I'm not going to continue. That is against the rules. You're not allowed to yourself in the car. What's the difference of scooping it out of the porta potty? And you're also not allowed to bring anything in or out of the car. Well, if you go into the porta potty and you scoop and you bring it in, you just broke the rules. Not only by bringing something into the car, but dude, you brought human in the car. Come on. No. End of the day, I mean, am I mad? Absolutely. But same time, I know I won. Do I have the car? No, but I know I beat the guy. You have to be at pretty low levels to put your own hand into a porta potty thing and scoop it out.
All right.
Come on.
I think we got this one. Much like Spengler, he's playing for the love of the game, Pat. He didn't care about the car. He won. He wants everyone to know he won this game. He beat this game.
Oh, my God.
Also, I have too much self-respect. You just spent 4.5 days in a century.
Yeah. Yeah.
With strangers. Yeah. I mean, come on.
That said.
Oh, my God.
The other guy should get the electric chair.
Yeah, this is bad. Who did they call? I love it. I love it. He says, I don't know who they called. McDonald's or something. Somebody stupid.
Why? Like, wow. Yeah. McDonald's?
McDonald's took a stray.
The guy who runs McDonald's can afford a car. You're sitting in a Sentra baking in the Oklahoma sun all day with three other dudes. People at McDonald's work for a living.
This is incredible.
Put some respect on the fry guy. What are you? Who are you? That said, this is an aggrieved party, and I'm not even waiting. What is going on, Pat? Yeah.
This is so disturbing. This is so disturbing on so many levels. Oh, my goodness. First of all, the Oklahoma State Fair should be sued into the ground for coming up with this horrific contest. I mean, you are putting people, this is the worst degradation you could possibly ask for, to put four strangers in a Nissan Sentra until they give up. I mean, what the hell? A Sentra isn't worth it. I'm telling you, a Nissan Sentra is not worth what you're putting yourself through. But then, this guy, like at the end here, I mean, I guess you get to the point like Total Warfare, all ends will justify the means as long as you're the last one alive. But no, this is so wrong. And while I am profoundly disturbed by our loser, I'm more disturbed by the winner. So give the horrific Nissan Sentra that will smell like whatever back to this poor scrapper.
Oh, brutal. You know, my wife can kind of hear me. She's in the other room and she can only hear what I say. Obviously, she can't hear what's going on the pod. And so during that clip, obviously I was, you know, saying things like, so she just texted me live while we were taping the pod. Are you guys on OnlyFans?
That's a whole other turn of events.
And this is gross. I was just Googling, you know, some stories on this. I just love the headlines. Stinking Sentra contest.
Yeah. The stinking Sentra. It's a thing.
Stinking Sentra.
And I just like to say a porta potty would be awful under any circumstance.
Oh.
Complete 100% no-go zone. Okay?
Yes. Yes.
However, considering the consistency and the nutrition of fair food and the people that would attend the Oklahoma State Fair and the fact that porta potty's baking in the sun all day because it's hot in Oklahoma right now.
Oh,
I would think Oklahoma State porta potty would rank in the top three state fair. Oklahoma, that is top three worst.
Oh, it's hot, you know. Yeah. Oh,
these guys—they got to sit in a center. They don't even park the thing near like the facility. You could go into a real bathroom and use like real like soap and water.
The whole thing's just a disastrous idea.
Boomer, it's baby, horrible. Boomer.
I don't know what that car smelled like. At the end of this, but this guy who kept the car, he better go to a really good cleaner. Yeah, really good cleaner. Yeah.
He's probably living in the car.
Also, this is definitely illegal, right? This was against the rules. You can't bring anything. What does that say? He's probably living in there.
I mean, you know, he stuck it out.
Again, we did not have time for this in the show, but this is an emergency people's court. It's like they can get the Supreme Court to, like, there's a pressing concern. They get the Supreme Court to get together, even though they're not in session and rule on something. I felt this merited it.
Oh, yeah. This was an emergency.
It should be
ruling,
a stay.
For sure.
This is just, the whole thing is terrible.
Give that man his Sentra. Not that one. Another one.
Yeah. What in the world? All right. We'll be back with Race for the Case, some actual football talk. All right, let's pick some games. Again, apologies for the long show, but
I'm too traumatized. I can't do it.
Yeah.
hey, look who's leading Race for the Case. Me, 11-7. Joe, 10-8. Pat, 9-9. Ross, doing great. 5-12-1. Good work, buddy. Number 24, Illinois at number 22, Nebraska. Huskers given 7.5. Friday night, 8 p.m. on Fox, the big network. Pat, who you got?
Really excited for this game. There's actually another 3-0 versus 3-0 game Friday night, too. San Jose State, Washington State. But this one will be a nice precursor to that at 8 o'clock. I'm going to take Illinois in the points here. I think that Bielema will have – he's got a very good secondary, as usual. And they've got 6 interceptions already this year. I think they're going to have a little something for Dylan Raiola, at least make it difficult for him. True freshman, 4th career start. I think the defense is going to ramp up a little bit and make it hard enough that Nebraska will not be able to run away from the Illini, and the Illini will cover. I like that hook on the end of the 7.5.
Yeah, if it was like 7 or below 7, I think I would probably take Nebraska. But it's a little more. I would take Illinois, but I think Nebraska's going to win the game, but Illinois has played really well defensively, as Pat said, but Altmaier's playing good too, 6 TDs, 0 interceptions. So I think they do enough to stick around. But in the end, I think Nebraska wins at home, but would give me the Illini to cover.
Yeah, I was pretty stunned by how wide of a margin this pick is. I don't think anybody realizes that this Illinois defense is really good. It's almost as good as it was a couple of years ago. When they had Devin Witherspoon a part of that secondary, they're picking everybody off. They made Jalen Daniels look pedestrian. Freshman quarterback, absolutely they're going to cover this. 7.5, I know it's on the road, but feel pretty confident about this one.
This spread didn't make sense to me either. It's like one of those, you get nervous. What does Vegas know? Because this is where they trick you. But same thing. And Nebraska had a great win against Colorado. They only scored 28.
Right.
You know,
and there was a pick six.
So wild scene. It's going to be great. Fired up for the game. Nebraska, I think, wins, but I'll take 7, especially with that hook. I'll take it. Illinois. USC giving 5.5, ranked 11th at number 18, Michigan. Wolverines a home dog, 3:30 on CBS. Ross, first pick.
So we've, yeah, you know, we talked about Michigan quite a lot lately on the podcast, and how they have not looked great in offensively. They don't have much of a quarterback, I think, and the struggles offensively are real, and the struggle, the USC defense has played really well with D'Antoine Lynn, obviously. He's got that defense playing well. I think good enough to certainly go on the road and win the game. I don't know if they're going to win by six, though. That's kind of going back and forth on this one. But I guess give me the Trojans to cover that six. I don't have a whole lot of faith in Michigan moving the ball.
Okay.
5.5? Yeah.
5.5. Yeah. So win by six.
Yeah, I'm taking the Trojans. I'm a little surprised, frankly, that Michigan didn't disguise the quarterback change, because it seems like a pretty drastic style change of the way they're going to play if you're going with Alex Orji from Davis Warren. Theoretically, you're going to be much more run-based, dual-threat quarterback action, and so you gave USC all week to prepare for that. If you're going to make the change, I might let that sit until Saturday morning before letting it be known. But that's what they did. The one challenge, USC has not played a good running quarterback yet, so they've got to show they can defend that. But so far, D'Antoine Lynn has a defense, as Ross said, that is much improved. They tackled well against LSU, and they had tackled like garbage the previous 2 years. They covered. I expect them to be able to do it against a not very good Michigan offense. So I am rolling with the Trojans to cover that spread, win by at least a touchdown.
Another line that I'm kind of surprised by, it feels like it's pretty low, considering we already saw this matchup, similar type of matchup occur, where Michigan played Texas, a team that's got really good receivers, confident quarterback, underrated, stout defensive line, and they walloped Michigan when they played them. That was separated from the first quarter and beyond, it just snowballed and snowballed. If we saw Texas do that, I don't think USC is on that same level as Texas right now, but they're close and they're built pretty similarly. So I feel pretty good about this as you guys do. Give me USC, the Trojans to cover.
Michigan 0-3 against the spread. Haven't shown any offense. They're on quarterback too. Colston Loveland, their best probably offensive player, is questionable. He was injured last week. Until Michigan proves anything to me, I'm not even sure they're a ranked football team right now. So I'll take USC. Utah, ranked 12th, giving two at 14th ranked Oklahoma State, not far from the Oklahoma State Fair. Not to be confused with the Oklahoma State Fair. You drive your new Sentra up to.
Keep the Sentra away from that field.
Huge college football weekend in Oklahoma, which is awesome.
It is. Yeah. Really fun.
Really fun weekend at Oklahoma State. And we'll get to the other one. The Tennessee Oklahoma next. 4 o'clock on Fox. Pat.
Yeah, new Big 12 matchup here. The mullet as a home dog is dangerous, but I just got a feeling like Utah's put it together well enough. And Cam Rising did not play last week, but I would expect him to be back this week. And they're just different with him at quarterback. They're very good defensively, as always. Oklahoma State, Ollie Gordon, they have not been able to get untracked. And so if you get one-dimensional throwing the ball against Utah, I don't think that would work well. I think everything adds up to Utes winning and covering a small spread.
I think with Cam Rising, I would feel pretty good about picking Utah to cover. Without him, I feel like Oklahoma State would cover. So I'm going to say think like Pat, that Cam will be back and that Utah will go in there and win that game. I don't feel really good about it, but there you go, Dan.
So for the what's been declared the Unk Bowl, because they've got two ridiculously old quarterbacks in this game, Cam Rising, right, got to give him the edge. I know he's been a little bit banged up. I can't help but remember and look back at that Arkansas game. If it wasn't for Arkansas completely shooting themselves in the foot, they got ran all over in the first half. We know that Utah can run the football. Micah Bernard has been fantastic for Utah. I don't think that they're going to blow past them, but 2 points feels accomplishable for them to cover and to win this game. Bowman's going to have to play great because Utah's defensive line has been really, really stout. And Ollie Gordon hasn't been able to get going. So I'm taking Utah as well to cover that too.
Yeah, great stat to what Joe was talking about at College Sports. Oh, Alan Bowman's 24, Cam Rising's 25. So the combined age of the starting quarterbacks this game is 49 years old. Just some kids. Some kids playing football. Two seventh year. In comparison, the combined age of the QBs in Sunday's Colts-Bears game, Anthony Richardson versus Caleb Williams, is 44. So I'm taking Utah. There's not a lot of variations here on the old picks. So we're all going down.
That's very boring.
Yeah, very boring, but I'm not getting suckered into anything. All right, part two of the drama in Oklahoma. Number 6, Tennessee, giving 7 at number 15, Oklahoma, 7:30 ET on ABC. Should be a fantastic scene and a big game. Ross?
Yeah, this is the big one. Discussed it last week, why Oklahoma kind of got into the SEC for games like this. Top 15 game at home, prime time on ABC. Big spread, especially for a road team. And I know Tennessee has played better, probably has a more talented team, but I think Oklahoma's defense does enough to slow down Nico in Tennessee to cover the 7. Maybe the Vols win in the end, but give me the Sooners to cover the touchdown.
All right, we're finally going to get a little difference of opinion here. I'm taking Tennessee and laying the points. I think the offense is running at a very high level. Oklahoma is undefeated, but struggled quite a bit against Houston and then had some definite lapses against Tulane before pulling away at the end. The other thing, Oklahoma has relied heavily on turnovers. They got 10 takeaways, tied for the most in the country. I'm not sure you can count on that against Tennessee. I don't see Tennessee giving them the ball 3 times in the game. So I expect if Tennessee takes care of the football, and with Nico's young quarterback here, but so you may get some mistakes made, but I don't think there will be enough of them to turn the tide on this. And I just think Tennessee can run the ball, they can throw the ball, and they can rush the passer. Nice combination of weaponry there. Vols win and cover.
I've been grappling with this pick a bit this week because Oklahoma's defense, this might be the best defense that Venables has had at Oklahoma. They look very, very stout, but we have to pay attention to their offense has been having a ton of trouble. Outside of Deion Burks, I don't really know who's that go-to option for Jackson Arnold. The way that we've seen Tennessee just blow past teams, it'll be closer than the NC State game, obviously, but I don't have trust in this Oklahoma offense to be able to keep up with them. Third, fourth quarter, they're probably going to separate and win by a score or more.
Yeah, go big orange. I love the way they're running the ball. It takes a lot of pressure off of Nico in a really tough environment. So I like Tennessee in this thing. Not a lot of faith in the Oklahoma offense. Last one before lock of the week, Rutgers at Virginia Tech. All right. Zigging when we're zagging here. Virginia Tech is giving 3.5, 3:30 ET on the ACC network. Ross, who are you picking?
So this is an interesting one. Yeah. You know, Virginia Tech, I think was, is Virginia Tech still your team to win the ACC?
You're sticking with that? They're not my team to win anything. They're spoiling my pick.
Oh boy.
Down on them forever.
So you've got a team that I think two teams here that I think many people thought would be sleepers in their conference for the conference race. And but Rutgers obviously played well undefeated. Virginia Tech had that game against Vanderbilt, lost against Vanderbilt, and didn't look great in a couple of games they've actually won. So I like Rutgers to go in here and go into Lane Stadium and cover the spread. Kyle Manungai at running back, been playing really well. I don't know. This is one of the better teams that I think Schiano probably has had at Rutgers, and this is a road game you got to win.
Yeah, I'm rolling with the Knights here. Kyle Manungai has been my man crush for the last year plus. I love him. He's got 373 rushing yards in 2 games. Obviously, the competition ramps up significantly from Howard and Akron here, and they're on the road, but Lane Stadium's been an overrated home venue. And I don't think this Virginia Tech team, which burned me, is worth supporting. So I am down on Virginia Tech. Death to the Hokies. Scarlet's Knights win and cover to go 3-0.
Man. Pat, you stole a take that I was going to bring up with this. So first of all, total disrespect to Rutgers, my guys down at Rutgers. We got to go with the New Jersey team here, me being a New Jersey guy. Second of all, I've played in this Virginia Tech stadium. It is incredibly overrated. It's not that crazy hard, difficult place to play. Rhode Island kept that game within a score for a period of time when we played against them when I was at URI. I don't think that this road situation is going to hurt Rutgers. Manungai has been fantastic. I think they outright win the game. If you want to take a money line, I would do it.
Bang. Man, Delaney. Tough. Everyone's all over Blacksburg. It's pretty, though. Very nice.
Oh, yeah. Very pretty. It's pretty. Yeah, but everybody's like, oh, but we got Enter Sandman. So what?
Yeah, that is cool. There. I'll admit that that's cool. But
then they play nice. The game.
Yeah, right, right. Exactly.
Rutgers. I'm just here for the inevitable round robin of Rutgers, Indiana, and Nebraska just duking it out. That's what I
there
really
you
want.
Go.
Rutgers. Yeah. All right, lock of the week time. Pat, you got one?
Ooh, no, not at all.
Okay. Ross got one. Joe's got one.
He got all right, I got one, guys. Don't worry.
I got one. Go ahead, Ross. Joe, though.
I love this line. I'm stunned that everybody is all in on hyping up Louisville right now when they're 2-0 and they haven't played anybody. They're a 10-point favorite at home against Georgia Tech. I understand that Florida State win has lost its shine quite a bit, but how are we not going to remember that they're physical, they're downhill, they run the football, they drain the clock a ton against Florida State? I'm not calling Georgia Tech here to win, but I would think that they're going to show up and they're going to keep this thing within 7 points or less. And I'd also like to bring up, this pissed me off last year. I bet on Louisville to cover a similar spread last season, and Brent Key, for no reason, was down by 2 scores and scored a touchdown late to backdoor cover for absolutely no reason last season. So I'm betting that Key is probably going to do the same thing against Louisville this year. So I'm going to take Georgia Tech to cover the 10.
All right. Harboring year-old bitterness. There you go.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I am taking, I'm picking now. I gave you guys a chance. I don't want you stealing this one. LSU giving 24.5 hosting UCLA. Forget it. First of all, UCLA just got whooped 42-13 at home by Indiana. They barely beat Hawaii at Hawaii. Now they're going to play LSU. It's going to be 93 degrees and gumbo level humid down there. And LSU's way the heck better. I see absolutely no problem here. 24.5. It's a big number. Don't care. LSU's going to take it.
I got one.
Anybody did any work. Go ahead.
I'm going to go to circle back our start of our the one. Start of the pod, which was the Cal Bears. Cal at Florida State. The Noles are 2.5-point favorite despite being 0-3. And actually, I'm going to take the Noles to finally win a game. And not only that, but cover the 2.5 and send Cal in all of their antics, their prayer circles and their rainbows and all the other things that we've seen on Cal Twitter back to California. So give me the Noles to cover.
A law of averages dictates both those teams are probably not as good or bad as their records, so I don't mind that pick. All right, I'm taking North Texas giving 9 at home to Wyoming. Mm. We've seen Wyoming. That's a bad team.
Yeah.
Bad teams need to be bet against on the road. So North Texas is nothing special, that's for sure, but Wyoming has major issues, so I'm taking the Mean Green to win and cover.
That's a good pick. That's a good pick. All right, we went long, but we had to. There was just too much. It was just too much. Too much. We gotta keep our people informed, and that's what we tried to do here. We'll be back on Sunday to overreact to all of it. There'll be new ridiculousness. We'll try to get word on the 5-layer burrito debacle, or not get word on it. I don't know. No. Anyway, share us. Tell your friends about us. Talk us up at the tailgates. Share us on social media. We really appreciate it all. And we will talk to you later.